Well, good morning. Welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and as always, it is my pleasure to be leading us in this time of worship, this time we have to be together in God's house and to focus and turn our attention to God. So I'm glad you're with me today. I'm glad we have this time. I have a couple of quick things to share with you as we get going. The first being from our 200th anniversary committee. Some of you have placed orders for those t-shirts they've been selling, and the first round of orders are in. Yay! It's not just them who get to wear the cool shirts. We get some now. But no, they'll be selling, or they'll have those available for pickup down in the fellowship hall after service. You can go down and see them. They will also be selling them. If you would like to order one, if you haven't done so yet, you can place an order here today, and they'll be selling those. We also have picked a day of October 29th that we're going to have our Wear Your Shirt to Church Day. So if you've ordered one of those shirts that you can wear that shirt, we're going to have it be our spirit wear day, if you will, like we used to have in high school, right? We wore our spirit wear. So we're going to be doing that on the 29th. And that will also coincide with our noisy offering we're going to be collecting this fall. So wear your spirit wear, bring your coins. It'll be a fun day to be in service together that day on October 29th. I also wanted to highlight for everyone that our Church Charge Conference is coming. It is scheduled for November 12th at 1:30, and it will be right here at Romeo UMC. This is our annual business meeting of the church, for lack of a better word. It's where we'll approve the leadership positions for the coming year, for staff compensation, all those other business items that we get to take care of every year. And it will be happening on November 12th. Everyone is welcome to attend that meeting. If there are any voting items, only members are allowed to vote on voting items during those business meetings. But you're welcome to attend. We'll be hosting about six other churches at the same time as we have those charge conferences. Also wanted to highlight that we are doing our Blessing of the Pet service here this afternoon. We're going to be on the back lot about 1 p.m. We'll meet right in that garden area where the scarecrows are is where we'll be. But if you want to go home after church, grab some lunch and grab your furry friends and bring them back and come join us for the Blessing of the Pet service. It's just a fun afternoon that we spend. We'll hear a little scripture about God's love for all of creation, and then we'll offer a blessing for those pets that are here with us. So if you want to join us, we encourage you to do so. And then there's a few other things on the board downstairs for you to check out. The Yaha's game day is coming up. The UMM, the United Methodist Men's Group, is hosting their breakfast and the scams presentation. That information is down there. And we also have a square dancing night scheduled for us to get together and have a square dancing time, and then we'll have some dinner together afterwards. So I encourage you to check those out. And then finally, in the fellowship hall after service today on the missions board, you'll see the United Women in Faith group is going to be hosting his table in one of the coming Tuesdays. And they have some slips on the board. If you want to help them out, you can grab some of the supplies they need and bring those in for them. They'd appreciate that. So you can find that in the fellowship hall after service. Those are the things, just a few things, that we have going on here. So I'm glad to share them, glad that we can know what's going on, what's coming up. But now we're going to do what we're here to do and what we do each and every Sunday, why we gather, and that is worship our Lord. So I'm going to invite you to join me in that worship as we start together. We're going to sing our opening hymn. It's number 545, which is actually what we're singing. It says 546 in your bulletin. That's my typo. 545 is what we'll be singing, The Church is One Foundation. Will you stand with me as we sing together? Will you pray with me? Liberating God, you give us commandments, not as a burden to bear, but as an invitation to live the life you have selected for us. So Lord, grant us open hearts, ready to accept your invitation, that we might become a people who bear the fruit of the freedom and new life you give to us. For it is through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we offer this prayer. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture for this morning is coming to us from Exodus. It's Exodus chapter 20, and we'll be hearing verses 1 through 4, 7 through 9, and 12 through 20. It is the Ten Commandments given to Moses by God. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female slave, ox, donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." This ends our first reading for this morning. Our choir has been hard at work preparing some numbers for us, and so I'm excited to have them with us for this morning as they're going to be singing "When I Look Into Your Holiness." Thank you, choir. At this time, I'd like to welcome any of the children or students, youth, would like to join me to come forward for our time with children. How are you doing this morning? Good. You guys doing good? Yeah. Did you have to bundle up a little bit more when you came out to church this morning? Put on a little bit warmer coat? Yeah, it got a little cooler out there than last week, huh? So the weather's changed a little bit, for sure. But as you look around in here today, do you notice anything new or different in here? Anything that looks different to you? Over there, you got one of them, Ava, all right? The shirts hanging on the wall. I'm actually going to talk with the adults in just a minute about those. I have one other thing in here that I'm wondering if you noticed. The banners are changed. You're right. But okay, so you guys are finding some additional things for me. I didn't take those into consideration. The banners were changed. So they look beautiful as always, right? We have yes, thank you. Mrs. Zimmerman and Mrs. Sova, they make those beautiful banners for us and help us have them for the seasons. You're right. So that's another one. You got two on me. I'm wondering how many you're going to find now. You see, what do you see? Oh, you're right, the cloths on the altar are changed too. All right, you guys, we're up to three. Let's keep going. What do you got? What else you got? You haven't hit mine yet. Nothing else? Nothing else is jumping out to you? Well, that's okay. What do you see, John? What is it? Up there? Josh up there? Josh is up there usually. He's hiding up there. He runs our video for us most weeks. He's usually up there. We like that. Thank you, Josh. But the other one, actually, as you're pointing, the other one that I was talking about, hi, Hazel, is you got to look up to see it. And it's kind of hard to notice at first, but you see all these lights that are hanging from the ceiling here? This week, we got new light bulbs. And some of them weren't working. Some of them had gone out. And there you see, that is Mr. Klusendorf. Ed is up on a set of scaffolding that we appreciated his effort. He was on that, and they pushed him right down the aisle, and he went from one light to the next to the next, and Mr. Stoner Bob was here working with them, and I just came in, and I was so appreciative of their efforts, because it took a lot of effort to get up there and change all those lights and get them fixed for us so we have light in our sanctuary, so that we have all those lights working in here. And we appreciate their efforts that they can do those light bulbs, and they do other projects around here. And it just got me thinking, because a little later today, we actually have another group of people coming, and we're going to be doing some work outside the church. We have some of the people who do the garden work and take care of our outside, and they recruited the youth group to come and help them do some of their work. And it just got me thinking that when we really stop and think about it, there are so many people that it takes to make Sunday service happen, to make the meals we host, to make the fun events like the hayride and bonfire we had last night happen. All those things, it takes so many people. And it just makes me, happy inside, is the only word I can say, to be a part of a church that has so many people that are willing to do so many things, to climb up on that scaffolding. Because let's face it, not just anybody wants to climb up on the top of that scaffolding. I mean, we know Ed's used to being up pretty high. He's a pretty tall guy. But he was up there really high this week. And I'm just thankful for all those people who do those things. And it reminds me that Paul told us in some of the scriptures that the church is a body, and it's made up of many parts, just like our bodies have hands and feet and eyes and ears and arms and legs and all the parts that make it up. The church has all those different parts. We have Myung, who plays beautiful music for us. We have people who light the candles, like Spencer, who does a great job. People in the video booth, John. Josh is up there, the sound booth. We have people who sing. We have all those different things that happen just for worship, let alone everything we do during the week. And it's just a wonderful testimony to being the church, to being the church that God called us to be. And I'm thankful for that. And I want you guys to know you have your part in it too. I'm so thankful that you're a part of this church, that we can do those things. And Miss Margie and I have been talking, and you know, I know we're not quite to Halloween yet, so I don't want to jump too far ahead, but after that, we come up on a season that involves Christmas trees and some of that, and there's going to be a Christmas play. So I hope you guys can be a part of that. Another thing that we do in church and during our worship, and just all those different things that we do. So I'm thankful you guys are here. I'm thankful you guys are a part of our church. I'm thankful for all the people that are a part of our church. And I just want you to know that we always have a place for you. We always have things for you to do. All right? So I'm going to say a prayer, and I know that Miss Dory has a fun lesson back there for you. So I'm going to say a prayer so you guys can head back too. All right? Dear God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks for each of these boys and girls that are here with us today. For those who aren't, that couldn't be with us, we offer our thanks and our praise. Lord, we offer our thanks for all of God's children that are part of this church, that pour into the ministries and the needs of this church, whether it be for the physical building, for the needs of our building around us, or for our times of worship and mission and ministry and all those things we do. So many people give of their time, give of their energies and their talents to make it possible, and we're thankful for that. So I pray for your blessing to continue to be with us as your church, with each of us as individuals, that we can continue to serve you and love you in the ways that you call us to do. Because, Lord, we know you love us, and we love you, and we pray in your holy name. Amen. Well, thank you guys for coming up. You're welcome to head back there to Odyssey, and we'll see you later, all right? All right. Well, they called out a few different things that are going on in the sanctuary today. The first being the lights, which we do offer our thanks and just appreciation to Bob and to Ed for all the work they put in. I know we gave them a round of applause, but we can give them one more. We also have some flowers this morning that are up front. These were given by Sandy Edwards in memory of her husband, Tom, and we appreciate all those who continue to contribute to the beautification of our sanctuary for those Sunday services through those flowers. So we offer our thanks for that. And the final one that Ava noted during our time with the children is we do have the t-shirts hanging on the wall, and this is part of our United Women of Faith. They're partnering with Turning Point for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We've done this for the years I've been here. I don't know how long it's been going on, but it's been some time that we've partnered with them. And we have these t-shirts hanging as a part of the Clothesline Project that takes place across the country. The Clothesline Project started with 31 shirts in 1990, and it was begun by a small group of women who had experienced domestic violence in their lives. And their hope was to transform some of those staggering statistics about violence against women and children into a powerful and educational opportunity to share and to heal, an opportunity for healing for those who had faced domestic violence. And they used the clothesline imagery as recognition of how many women in close-knit neighborhoods would exchange information over the clothesline or as they worked in their backyards to hang up the clothes on their laundry to dry. And the adage of hanging the dirty laundry out to dry still holds true because often domestic violence feeds on silence. It's made possible because people remain silent. And Turning Point has provided survivors an outlet through these shirts to express their voices. And since 1990, hundreds of clothesline projects have emerged across the country. It's a nationwide thing. It's gone abroad as well at this point. Tens of thousands of shirts will be displayed during the month of October, both by those survivors and by their loved ones. And if you'd like to know more about Turning Point, the Clothesline Project, or other upcoming events that they have this month in support of domestic violence awareness, they do have information on their website at turningpointmacomb.org. You can find that information. And I'd encourage you here, and these are going to be hanging throughout the month, I'd encourage you just to take a moment on your way in or out of service this month to stop and read, to look at some of those shirts, the words, the phrases. Some of them speak of anger. They speak of hurt. Some speak of hope. And we know where that hope comes from for those women. It comes from our Lord. It comes from people who do reach out to them. So I thank our United Women of Faith for their continued efforts with Turning Point. We take collections regularly. They don't have any specific needs that they're asking for now. Becky said that they're always in need of paper goods, of plates and silverware and cups. If you want to bring something in, they'll be providing us a list for throughout the holiday season as well, as they always do, that we'll continue to support them through our ministry and through what they do. But I encourage you, take a moment, look at those shirts, pray over those shirts, pray for those women that they represent, pray for those individuals whose lives have been damaged because of domestic violence, and let us continue to support our brothers and sisters right here in our own community. So thank you to our United Women in Faith for their leadership in this, and I thank you for all your efforts in it. I had just two other prayer requests to share with you. This week, Larry Back stopped me and asked that we include his brother Gordon in our prayers. Gordon's been through a few different health issues here recently, including a heart attack, and they know they need to do some work. Some stints need to be done. Some health changes need to happen. So we want to keep Gordon in our prayers. We lift him and his family up as they support him during this time. And then this morning, I had one request for an unspoken prayer request. They just asked for prayers, and God knows the need. God doesn't need us to say anything more. God knows what that need is, and we lift up that individual, that situation, whatever it may be, we lift that up in prayer today. So those were the ones that were shared with me ahead of service, but I also, Linda has the microphone, Nathan has one. If you have others to share, please just raise a hand.
Good morning. I want to be sure to invite anybody who likes to dig in the dirt to come today from 2 to 4 to winterize the dirt around the church.
Thank you, Nita.
Thanks.
We will be working from 2 to 4. We recruited some of the youth, but we will take all the workers we can get. So from 2 to 4, we'll be out there, and if you want to come help us, we'd appreciate it.
October has long been recognized worldwide as Pastor Appreciation Month or Clergy Appreciation Month. The call to honor our church leaders' contributions can be traced back to St. Paul. In establishing the first Christian churches, St. Paul advised the congregation to give double honor to the elders of the church who managed the affairs of the church well, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. This comes from 1 Timothy 5:17. St. Paul further urged Christian communities to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you, holding these spiritual leaders in the highest regard and love because of their work. This comes from 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 13. In 1994, the American Christian Organization Focus on the Family began promoting Clergy Appreciation Month as a national month of observance. In highlighting Clergy Appreciation Month, Focus on the Family sought to encourage the faithful to outwardly show their appreciation for religious leaders on a national level. From Pastor Appreciation Month grew the idea of emphasizing one specific day to nationally pay tribute to our clergy. This day became known as Pastor Appreciation Day, also referred to as Clergy Appreciation Day. This day of showing national gratitude for clergy members is celebrated on the second Sunday in October. We want to express our deep gratitude for your dedicated work you do day after day, for all you do, and for the kind, thoughtful way you do it. Thank you. We could never take for granted the hard work you do. We see it, and we appreciate you. Can I say a little prayer, please? Lord of peace, may you give our pastor and his family peace at all times and in every way. May you, the God of peace, equip our pastor with everything good for doing your will, and may you work in them what is pleasing to you, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for all you do. We've got some cards that I'll give to you later.
Thank you, Sandy. I can't say anything more, otherwise I'm going to lose it. So I appreciate you all and know that I feel that appreciation. So thank you. Are there others this morning? Then I invite us to take a moment here to pray for those, that we've heard, to pray for those that we have brought with us that we haven't given voice to, but God knows the needs. Let us take a moment and lift them up in silent prayer. We stand in awe of your creation, magnificent Lord. We can't help but gaze at the autumn leaves, the indicators of change that are coming. We can begin to think about the winter ahead and make preparations for the differences that come with these changing seasons. As we make changes, Lord, help us also to make the necessary changes within. Help us to turn our hearts to you. As we settle into predictable routines, let us always be mindful of the needs of others. Remind us of those who are hurt this day, those who are in places where they don't feel safe, those who fear there is no way out. Help us always to keep them in prayer. Help us always to look for ways to support and encourage, to remind them that there is hope in you. And this morning we lift in prayer the names of loved ones who are struggling, whether it be with illness, grief, alienation, or sorrow. We lift them with our voices. We lift them with our hearts to you. Lord, we also share those things which make our hearts, make our spirits dance with joy. Lord, in your spirit of joy, hear our praises too. Let the light of God shine on us. Let it shine on those that are in need, those that celebrate. Let it continue to illuminate our way. Let it guide our lives. For in all things we offer our thanks and praise. All things we worship you. And as we've prayed these things, we now pray as Jesus taught us to pray, praying together, Our Lord, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus, all I need is you. You are the source of all I need. All I need is you. I'll invite you to again stand with me as you're able for our next hymn, number 368, My Hope is Built. Will you stand and sing with me, hymn number 368? You may please be seated. We pause for a moment. We pause in worship to offer our thanks for many things, but also for the mission and ministry we're able to be a part of through the collection of our tithes and offerings from the many faithful givers that have been so true to this church throughout its history, for the ministry we're able to be a part of, the good mission work we do, but also the fellowship and the fun. Just last night, we were able to go out to the Van Hootie Farms, which I offer my word of thanks to the Van Hooties who are here with us. Will you thank them with me for a moment? They graciously let us descend upon their farm each year and have a bonfire. We had fun cooking hot dogs, cooking marshmallows, going for a hayride, and of course the pumpkins that are on all of our porches now. We are thankful for all those things and for the organizer of that. And that's just the things that are possible because this church is so faithful in its giving and its giving of its time, its energy, and its offerings. So we offer this word of thanks. I remind you, we do have our offering box on the wall behind the organ if you wish to leave something here this morning or online at our website, romeoumc.com. Let me offer this word of thanks and praise this morning. Washed in your peace and love, O God, we bring our gifts to you. We pray that you bless these gifts and the lives they represent, the lives that they will touch, the service that they will make possible, that it all be for your glory. Lord, help us to continue to be those who serve, those who reach out, those who do your will here on earth. For we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our second scripture reading for today is coming to us from Matthew. It's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 33 through 46. The parable of the wicked tenants. And Jesus said to them, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a winepress in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went away. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Then he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces its fruits. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. This, my friends, is the word of God. It's for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I have to tell you, this week as I read the words on the page, as I looked at them, I fell into a all-too-familiar trap that I find myself in sometimes. The scripture I was looking at specifically was that scripture we heard from Exodus a little earlier in service. And I'm sure those words were familiar to most of you. They were the Ten Commandments, after all. And like many of you, I can still see the picture of those hanging on the wall of our Sunday school room back in my church when I was a child. I can remember the Sunday school teachers talking about them. I can remember the pastors that have preached about those commandments, about the rules given to Moses, the rules given to shape the people of Israel, to tell them how they are to live. And the trap that I found myself falling into as I read those words, the trap I started to write my sermon on, was writing of all the ways we fall short of keeping those commandments. I'm sure you've probably heard that sermon before. I know I've delivered that sermon before. I was ready to go down that path, ready to remind us all of how often we screw up. That's where I was heading. But in all honesty, I didn't really want to preach that sermon today. That wasn't where my heart was, and so I did a little further searching, did a little further reading. And as I did over the course of my preparation, I had something else start to pull at me. And I found myself drawn to a commentary written by a seminary professor who teaches a Hebrew class. That's what she's been teaching for many years down at United Theological Seminary. And this individual, she suggests that this text from Exodus, that maybe perhaps it's been mistranslated over the years. And mistranslated might be a strong word for it, but she wrote the words work. They're the right words by the translation, but they don't really fit the flow of the Exodus story. They don't fit the spirit of the Exodus event. And she highlighted these opening verses for us. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And it's what she said next about these very words that really struck me. The commandments that God gave to Moses, they begin with an act of redemption. The law, as God lays it out, begins with grace. That stuck with me because when I look at the Ten Commandments, I often feel differently about them. Why? Why do we assume that these laws are intended as heavy burdens laid on our shoulders with wagging fingers, furrowed brows from God expressing his displeasure with us for not keeping them? God isn't commanding obedience. God is inviting us into a way of being, into a way of living with these verses. And that professor, her belief is that we shouldn't read these as commandments in the sense of the word that we usually hold it. She believes these are more descriptions of how we're called to be as Christians, as followers of God. So as we look at those, that's the simplified list of Ten Commandments that we often see printed on walls, printed on posters. But I'm going to read what this seminary professor wrote. These are what she believes these commandments would look like as descriptions of how we are to live our lives. And they contain these same Ten Commandments. So as I read them, listen, hopefully as you see them up there, you'll hear these same Ten Commandments come through in her words. But this is how she believes this text might apply to our lives. God says, I brought you out of slavery, out of bondage, so that you can be the people with no other God. Not the gods of the people around you, not the gods of your own making. The one who rescued you is the one you can worship. The one who loved you into freedom is the one you can love, so that you can be the people who celebrate that name. You know that name won't ever let you down. Because the name is the presence, and the presence will never leave you. And because I know that you're going to need help with these concepts, you can have a rhythm, you can have a pattern, and worship and rest will be a part of that pattern. The pattern will be there to help you be who you were created to be. The pattern will keep you close to the presence that is always with you. And because you live in this presence and follow this pattern, you will honor those who give you life and those who lead you. And you treasure all of life, knowing that it isn't to be thrown away for any reason. You will honor the covenants that you make between one another, covenants of love, covenants of property, covenants of honesty, covenants of communion and community. Because of the presence and the pattern, you live in peace with your neighbor. You give respect and honor. That is who you are. That is who you were created to be. I like her words. I like how she can help us to reframe our thinking about this text. Reframe where and why God passed these commandments, these descriptions onto his people. We might come to see that perhaps it isn't some law handed down from generations to be slavishly obeyed. It's not under threat of punishment or exile that we follow this law. This is a description of how to fulfill the longings of our hearts. This is the freedom to be what is within us. This is a gift given to us by a loving Heavenly Father who loves us more than we can ever imagine. This is us. These 10 statements, these 10 descriptions are the framework for who we're called to be. They define us, they shape us, they claim us. It is this presence and this pattern that we are called to live in our lives. I believe it's who we were always called to become. Since our ancestors wandered in the desert, this is who God intended for us to be. And it's why we should constantly be asking ourselves, how can we better grow to fit in that picture, the picture that God draws for us here in the book of Exodus? How are we doing at embracing the presence of God? How are we doing on living into the pattern that has been laid out for us to live a life as we've been called to live? Some days we might do better than others. I think that's true for all of us. Some days we succeed. Some days we live into who we were called to be. But other times we struggle. And I don't believe this is or was a shock to God that we've struggled with this over the generations. All generations have struggled in this way. But because we struggle, because we could never do it on our own, God stepped in. God made a way to see us through those struggles. God sent his Son. God put on flesh and came and dwelt amongst us. The presence came and was in our midst. It became a part of the pattern of living, part of the flow of life. And as I wrote those words, I really wish that I could put a period on the end of that sentence and have that be the end of the story. Jesus came down and lived amongst us, and all was good. But of course, we know that's not where the story ends, because God did dwell amongst us, helping us live, helping us understand and live the lives we were called to live. And it would make for a very different New Testament if I put a period at the end of that sentence. But that's not where it ended. And that's actually right where Jesus' parable that we heard this morning from Matthew, where it really comes into play. Because as it says at the end, the Pharisees, those leaders of the temple, as they heard this parable, they realized that Jesus was talking about them. They were those that the vineyard was given to manage. Yet their own wickedness, their own desires got in the way. As I looked at this parable, as I read through it again, started making notes on my list of 10 commandments I had on my desk. And over the course of that parable, if we really want to, if we really look at it, we can probably identify 9 of the 10 commandments that the tenants of that vineyard broke over the course of that short parable. The only one that they didn't seem to break, because at least we're not told about it, is they didn't commit adultery in that text. But otherwise, the other 9, they broke in one way or another. But what this says to me, what I realized as I read this, was that those tenants, they were looking at those commandments. They weren't looking at them as a description of a way to live. I think they were looking at them as law, as rules to follow. And let's face it, us humans, we're not always so good with being rule followers. We don't always like to be told what to do. And when they're placed in charge of that vineyard, they start to make their own plans. They start to make their own rules, their own desires. They don't want to do what was intended. They want to do it their way. We can take what we want, they think. It can all be ours. We don't have to pay anyone anything. We don't owe anyone anything. We can be in charge of our own little corner of the world. We'll be the ones who make the rules. We will live by our own strength. We will live by our own wisdom. We don't need anyone lording over us. And they fall into that trap. And of course, as in any good parable of Jesus, as Jesus finishes his parable, he asks a question of those gathered. He asks those listening, how should the landowner deal with these wicked tenants? Remember, these tenants have now killed his slaves. They've now killed his son. How should that landowner deal with these tenants? To which those gathered, they reply, he should put them to a miserable death. A very human response to a very human created problem, isn't it? More violence, more death. Retribution, give those people what they deserve. But of course, that's not what Jesus says. That's not what Jesus tells them to do. It's not what Jesus promises. When we really look at this parable, he doesn't even truly make it about the judgment that those wicked tenants deserve. Instead, he seems to take time to pause to describe to them the consequences that come from our actions, to remind them that our actions have consequences. He doesn't describe an angry God who storms into the vineyard, ready to kill, ready to get rid of those wicked tenants. Instead, he describes a loving parent who wants you to know, who wants to know the consequences of our actions, of choosing a life outside of him, a life that doesn't have his guidance, direction, or support. That's what Jesus is warning them about. It is this cornerstone, Jesus reminds us, that gives shape to the whole structure. It is the cornerstone that holds it all together. He tells them, do not rely on your own knowledge. Do not rely on your own wisdom to live by. Instead, live and build your life on the cornerstone that God has provided. Build it on Jesus. And I think that's why Jesus is giving them these instructions, because we have Jesus, much like God did to those Israelites in the desert when he gave them the Ten Commandments. Jesus is trying to describe what life looks like with and what life will look like without God's presence in it, the shape and the direction that God gives to us. He hopes to warn of the dangers that will lie ahead, the challenges that we will face. But mostly, I think he wants to remind us of what it looks like to be fruitful, of the benefit we can have in our own life and the life of others when we are fruitful. Because at the end of the day, I think that's what both of these scriptures are really about. And that's not how they're often described, I know, but this isn't about obedience for obedience' sake. It's about the law, about following Christ, because it invites obedience. It invites order to our lives. It helps us to produce fruit, the fruit of the kingdom that can benefit us, yes, but it can also benefit others. The fruit that fulfills, the fruit that sustains and creates community. It produces hope and joy and abundance. It's the fruit of the Spirit that is possible when we work together for the Lord. That is the fruit for which we labor. That is the hope for which we live by. It is the law that sustains us and lifts us up. It is the fruit of the kingdom, and it has been freely given to us by a loving landlord, a heavenly Father, by God Almighty. So my friends, at the end of the day, God has handed us the vineyard. He made the preparations. He put up the fence. He dug the wine press. He gave us all we needed. But now he's called us to work in the fields. So I pray that we continue to choose to live and work in the vineyard, as we've been called, to recognize that that presence is amongst us, guiding us in the way that leads to life. May we remember the description of who we've been called to be, the way that God describes us as his loving children. And may we have life and have it abundantly as we live and we serve and we work alongside one another and God throughout our days. Thanks be to God, the one who provides for our needs, the one who meets us where we are, the one who loves us in spite of our errors. Thanks be to God today and always. Amen.
So let's all stand for our last song, if you're able.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. 'Cause yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is a name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Amen. Let us go forth today as a people who bear the fruit of the kingdom, that is living in a pattern after God's grace. May you go and share the hope, the joy, share the love you receive from God with your neighbors, with your friends, with family, wherever you may go, go and share that fruit. Go with God's blessing. Amen.